Hey, Barb. Did you hear what happened to the invisible man when he went to the doctors? He told him he couldn't see him. Thanks, Elaine. Wow. That was easy. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up. We put them into your hands. Do your will with them, Lord. Whatever is from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start a short series today, and short by my definition usually means by Thanksgiving. It should be a short series. Talking about being deceived. Today we're going to talk about the fundamentals of it, and then we'll go into the specifics. Am I done already? No. Okay. She's playing me out. Yeah. Scripture speaks often about spiritual deception. It tells us where it comes from, what the deception often is, and what it cost us. Deception is trying to get one to accept a lie or to reject the truth. Deception has no place in the kingdom of God, as it was built on truth. Especially the hard truths about ourselves and the life as it really is. There is nothing the children of God can gain from using deceit. There is no need, as the truth is on our side, and it will reveal itself to all, with or without our efforts. It says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hence, everyone will know that they are not the Lord. We should never worry about others believing the truth. They all will. What we should have concern over is when they accept the truth, as the eternal destiny hangs in the balance of timing. Those who embrace it now and those who are forced to accept it later have vastly differing fates. Whatever the scripture speaks to the sons of God, warning us not to be deceived, it does so regarding a matter that we are usually and easily deceived over, and it is usually a matter of extreme importance. So whenever you read in Scripture, do not be deceived. Pay special attention to what follows, as it speaks about something that is important and that we often get wrong. Why? Because we prefer the lie to the truth. We want to be deceived because the truth vexes us. God tells us not to be deceived, makes an interesting point. When he says, do not be deceived, he's saying something really interesting. This is on us. It's yours. Do not allow yourself to be deceived. It is our responsibility not to be deceived. Scripture is not deceptive. Our hearts are. It's not our minds that deceive us most of the time. It is our desires, our passions, our pride. The truth is knowable. We simply choose to ignore it. We elect deception because it promises to give us what we desire over what we need. We must monitor what we accept as spiritual truth with Scripture and Scripture alone. Hold your opinions up to the light of sound teaching and established doctrine. Spiritual ignorance is never bliss, nor is it ever an excuse. Ignorance is a choice. It is covert rebellion. It is choosing to be deceived because the truth will challenge the lie that you have built your life on. Ephesians 4:17-20 says this. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. So it comes from the heart and works its way up to the brain. They, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Everything that he said they do, he's already said, I've taught you not to do that. Do not live your life as the ungodly do, in futility, with a purpose that has no eternal meaning, because you die. This self-imposed ignorance of reality causes us to harden our hearts, what we feel about God and about others. This ignorance and hardening of the heart excludes us from the life of God, the life we were saved by grace to live, the life of victory, the life of truth, the life of purpose and meaning, the life that builds up treasures in heaven, the life that is willing to sacrifice the temporal in order to gain the eternal, which is the fundamental truth that a life should be built on. There is nothing in Scripture that teaches us to focus on the temporal gains of this world or to use Christ to obtain them. We did not learn Christ in this way. We simply have chosen to ignore what fellowship, the Spirit, and the Word of God has taught us. We, brothers and sisters, deceive ourselves. This message is for the saved, for the children of God, who know the truth that has made them free. We, the children of God, have a choice. The world does not know the truth and flounders helplessly in their ignorance, looking for purpose and meaning and pleasure, material gain, and worldly relationships, all of which are doomed to be consumed by the relentless monster of time. They are temporary fixes, placebos that we willingly embrace to avoid consideration of the hard truths. The final reality of a truly absurd existence. Life is meaningless and hard, and then you die and are no more. And if you are no more, you cannot be God. We, the church, can understand this because that is what we used to be. It is the absurdity we used to live in. Their self-deception is a defense mechanism against the harsh truth. For us, it can be an outright rejection of the truth we know for a lie we desire, a lie we want to return to. 1 Peter 1:14 says, "Obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in ignorance." Peter's telling the church, children, not to return to the lies they were clinging to, going back to the vanity and the emptiness that Christ saved them from. We know the truth, yet the lies we were taught by this life still beckon to us. They're everywhere. Turn the TV on, listen to a commercial, talk to your neighbor, listen to politics. It never ends. It is relentless, beckoning you to come back. Peter tells us what we should do in the very next verse. Start becoming now what you absolutely will be, the image of Jesus Christ. Live for this and this alone. Head towards your eternal destiny starting right now. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Do not be conformed to the former lust." Scripture tells us that if you love your neighbors, you love yourself, and love God with all your heart, you will be holy. You cannot love your life in the flesh and your life in the spirit at the same time, because you will end up loving one and hating the other. Just like when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem and they all celebrated and called him Lord, Lord, and when they found out that he wasn't there to serve their flesh and to give them what they wanted, they yelled, "Crucify him." They loved him, then they hated him. The truth of Christ is not compatible with any lie of this world, no matter how much you want it to be. Our devotion to a lie never changes the truth. Hosea 4:6-8. "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest, my representatives to this world." What stands between the world and me. "Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the," listen to this one, "they feed on the sin of my people and direct their desires towards their iniquity." God's people are destroyed by self-imposed ignorance. They reject knowledge and they forgot the law. Consider it to be invalid for them. Their sins expanded over time and they celebrated their iniquity, the lie that they substituted for truth. They found themselves leaders who would encourage their sin and then justify it for them. And God's people directed their own desires to sin to their own iniquity. They chose the lie. They willingly deceived themselves. And where does this deception come from? Jeremiah 19, 9 through 10. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and it is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Our heart, the very core of our being, cannot be trusted to embrace the truth. What we desire at our foundation is not compatible with the truth, because basically we all desire to be God, yet we are not. This desire of our heart has the power to make us see only what we want to see and hear only what we want to hear. It has the power to focus our minds on the task of making a lie plausible. When God says, do not be deceived, he is telling us to use our brains, look at the facts, listen for the truth. Do not allow what you want in your heart to overwhelm the reason that God gave you. The lie is within us. It is not a construct of Satan that is implanted into pure and holy hearts. If Satan were the issue, removing him would solve our problem. And this life, this journey away from and back to God would not be necessary. We repent from what we are, not from what Satan is. Satan simply whispers what he knows we want to hear. He knows because it's the same lie he began with, and it's the same lie he still clings to. Satan may have been the first with a heart of deceit. He may be the father of lies, but we make our own commitment to the lie because we like it. John 8:44, Jesus said, you are your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And then we must be the children of lies if it is our own nature. Machiavelli wrote, one who deceives will always find those who allow themselves to be deceived. Those who want to be deceived, those who want the lie. We are like Satan. We suffer from the same disease. He was the first, but he is by no means the last. It is the same core infection, pride, the desire and the belief that we are God. We are like Satan, but he is not responsible for our deception. He simply encourages the process, and in doing so reveals the lie we have based our life on. We all come to the knowledge of Judas. We all end up saying what he said. My God, what have I done? Who am I? Is that really me, Lord? Everything I've built my life on was a lie. James 1:14 through 16. But when one is tempted, he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers. It's you. Satan isn't mentioned anywhere here. He's not necessary. Satan may be the founder of Team Pride. He may have a playbook full of lies, but we choose to play for his team. Don't be deceived. We choose. It's a team that cannot win, but at a team where the players get to play the game any way they please. And that beckons to a part of us that hears only that call. The clock is the only truth they are required to yield to under their coach. Because free will reveals will. It shows you what you are. Revealed will brings us to the base choice of divine grace. If there is a choice in grace, it is this: repentance. I was wrong. Forgive me. Help me not to do this anymore. because we can change sides to team truth. We are unrestricted free agents because of Jesus Christ. He bought out our contracts. We can join a team that is destined to win, but we have to play on that team by the coach's rules and one simple truth. We have to decide that he is God and we are not. And we have to know that this is a very good thing for everyone, including ourselves. Acts 17:30-31. Therefore, having overlooked the time of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men that all people everywhere should repent. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Everyone must repent from their own ignorance because the clock is ticking. The game is nearing its end. Do not be deceived. You cannot win when your playbook is nothing but lies. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proved what the truth is. You can change sides only while the game is going on. Do not be deceived. The game will end. And if you play for the lies you love, you will lose the truth that loves you. Satan wants to keep you on his team because he knows that when the clock runs out for his players, it breaks the heart of God. And that's the only thing that you mean to him, a means to break the heart of God. The coach of the team of truth wants all of his players from team lies to win. He beckons to all of them, come over here. He doesn't want anyone to lose when the clock strikes zero. He is not willing that any should perish. Once again, Satan sees you as an expendable player in his game against God, while God sees the game as expendable, a means by which you can win. You choose who you play for, truth or lies. You will hate the one and love the other, and you cannot play for both sides. And this is a game, brothers and sisters, that is not just played on Sunday mornings. This game is played every moment of your life. Lies make you feel like you're winning when you're losing. The truth makes you know you're winning no matter what you feel like. Isaiah 47:10, the ultimate delusion. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, "No one sees me." Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you, for you have said in your heart, "I am, and there is no one beside me." The great self-deception. I am God. No one could tell me what to do. I decide what sin is. I decide what parts of Scripture are applicable. I alone am Lord of my life. I can do what I want, when I want, to whoever I want, because everyone and everything exists for me. Galatians 6:7-9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, and the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary, if we don't tilt our head towards the lies. Do not allow yourself to be deceived. Sin has sure and known consequences. Don't believe the lie that it doesn't. Pay no heed to the lie that Satan has whispered since the very beginning. Surely you will not die. Yes. Yes, you will. You're dying as you sit here. You are now closer to death than you were before this sermon started. Do not be deceived. Do not allow yourself to believe the lie that there is no reward for righteousness, that the sinners are laughing while the saints are crying. All you need to do is go to the place of ultimate truth to see the weakness in this lie. Go to a funeral home and see who is crying and see who is celebrating. Charles Colton said, there are some frauds so well conducted that it would be stupidity not to be deceived by them. This is from the labyrinth of lies we have built to deceive ourselves. It is so hard, brothers and sisters, to defeat a lie that you want to win, that you wish was the truth. What you want must be changed first. And time and the Word of God and fellowship and the Spirit of God do that every moment of your life. Not to another more palatable lie. Your heart desires must be changed to the truth, no matter what the truth costs you, because the truth will cost you every lie that you have ever built your life on. If you want it, God will help you find it, because God wants you to be free more than you do. And that is a truth you can build your life on. Amen.